So Barbara, your Paul, not this one, went to a meeting and it didn't go well. Tell us about it.
Well, so as you know, my husband's a judge and he was in a virtual training on unconscious bias for 2 days. And he was in home office and I look over at his facial expression once in a while. I went, whoa, there's something not good going on here, right? He looked solemn and depressed, you know? So after it, I said, you know, what were you doing? Unconscious bias training. And I said, did you learn anything? He said, absolutely nothing. He said, what I learned is to suppress myself, be politically correct, right? And not engage with people who are different than me. That was sort of the message, right? It was like completely the opposite of what the intention of the unconscious bias training was, I'm sure, right? And then I shared with him some statistics and he was completely blown away, right? That unconscious bias does not work. And I'm going to be real straight up on this one, all right? We need to stop saying that. We need to stop delivering that kind of training. It is creating such reverse effect for both men and women of all races, ethnicity, and whatever the diversity inclusion spectrum you're from, right? So then the question is why? Well, first of all, you can call it a Band-Aid. Now, is there bias out there in the world? Of course, there is everywhere. We all have it, right? But if you have a wound, let's say you got a wound and you know, and it's a kind of like a bias wound, right? You put a Band-Aid on top of it, what's gonna happen to that wound? It's gonna fester even more, right? So I call it a Band-Aid theory. Now, why do I say that? Well, the business case shows that $8 billion is spent just in the US alone delivering mandatory diversity and unconscious bias training. It has no correlation to working. It actually creates, Silicon Valley calls it learning apathy, right? So it kind of has them justify, well, we're all biased, so what can we do about it? Learning apathy, right? And of course, then it creates, you know, this suppressed, you know, reduced morale. I spoke to a client this morning about the fact that they rolled it out all over the world. And they said, you know what? We just did our engagement survey results and it's worse than ever.
Let me jump in there because boy, you're straight shooting on this one. This is good, but there's two things here. Number one, empirically, undeniably, numerically, financially, unbiased, unconscious bias training doesn't work. Right. This is not an issue of a poorly delivered Zoom webinar. This is an issue. Zoom probably made it worse, but this is just an issue of this focus, this $2 billion a year focus doesn't work.
$8 billion, I might say.
$8 billion focus doesn't, even better, makes the point more. Not an issue of Zoom, it's an issue of unconscious bias training doesn't work. So yes, you heard that right, keep going.
Yeah, and we'll link some articles on this podcast. There's one from Harvard Business Review that speaks to about these $8 billion and the why behind it. So we'll offer that up too. Okay, so now we're gonna ask ourselves why, right? We talked a little bit about why. So it isn't necessarily the content of delivery. It is actually the language we use. Think of unconscious and think of bias. Unconscious means, okay, you're helpless. You poor little thing. You're just unconscious about everything when it comes to race, you know, ethnicity or diversity, inclusion, etc. And then bias evokes blame, right? So one of our clients a few years back is PwC. And we actually, when we're looking at their succession planning, their bias in the succession planning, talent management processes, you know, we removed that and we reframed it into blind spots. And when you talked about blind spots, it had a complete different listening, right? And again, this morning with this client that I was talking to, they said, yeah, that makes me curious, right? Because we all have blind spots. When we drive, we have blind spots, right? Or we walk, you know, on the streets, we have blind spots. So we turn our heads and look and make sure that, you know, we're safe, right? As an example. So the language, and then of course, the science, when you bring the science, and that's why the neuroscience of differences is so powerful and why we've dedicated 30 years of this work to do that, is that it makes a transformational difference because it is not no blame. It's really about discovering aha moments of things you don't know, right? And it has such a solid business case, which we talked about, Paul, where everybody wins in it, right? There's a win for men, there's a win for women from all races, ethnicity, all you know, LGBTQ, you name it, all the diversity spectrums within, you know, the workplace and in the world.
Nobody wants to enter into a conversation with blame. You start an unconscious, can't do anything about it, bias, blame, training. You know, it's the worst of two worlds because, well, here's something that you can't do anything about, but you're still to blame. Welcome to 2 hours of a Zoom presentation. It's just terrible there. But blind spots, you know, there are pieces of tech we buy to help us with blind spots. You and I, before we were doing this, we were chatting about, you know, well, I'm not on Instagram. Is that a blind spot or is there a technical way to do something about that? That's the conversation that gets good. And what's funny is you and I both entered into meetings that are just no win from the very first second. If somebody enters a meeting in dealing, and this is what you've done so well for all these years, if someone deals with a meeting with not you're to blame, but here's what we can do, with not you have a blind spot, but here's the tech that can help, how does that change just, you know, those looks on the faces of what you saw with your husband, Paul, versus, you know, what you see when you do meetings that are a little bit more effective, if you will, or dare I say a bit more gender intelligent, if you will?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've been in one and I see it all the time, all over the world. There's kind of entering into it, whether it's virtual or in person, there is that, oh my God, here we go again, right? Crossed arm, crossed legs, whatever, right? And then 5 minutes in, 10 minutes in, I go, oh, this is a different thing here, right? This is actually really good, right? And what is it that they experience? First of all, they are in the conversation right at the get-go, right? They're not being told to or talked at or, you know, or giving a bunch of pictures and say, okay, is she or he a physicist or a janitor, you know? Or is this, you know, like that, that's kind of part of unconscious bias. You know, they do that, they show you these pictures and then you have to test to see what you're assuming this person does for a living kind of thing, right? If it's a person with a turban, you know, are they a doctor or are they a cab driver kind of thing, right? So it engages them at the get-go. So that's number one. Second is it's relevant to every part of their lives, right? Professionally and personally, right? When they understand the neuroscience, it brings that relevance to it, right? And it takes this divisiveness, like this us and them out of the equation, and it brings into the bigger we, right? Because the neuroscience is available whether you're, I mean, I had an outstanding Black woman engineer, you know, who said to me after the session, she said, you know, I thought that I was dealing with these issues because I was Black. What I actually realized is that I wasn't gender intelligent, right? So I projected blame and bias with people because I communicated a certain way. Men and women tend to communicate differently, right? And I thought it was more of a racial bias when I actually is understanding that the fact that men and women communicate differently, so I need to speak to that listening. And these things, later on, when I spoke to her many months later, she said they just went away. They were like gone, right? So again, when we get into a dialogue that has no blame, that has no resistance, that has 100% engagement and is relevant to everybody that's in the room, that's some magic that can happen then.
I don't know, magic, you know, when you say magic, you have these, you know, unicorn and fluffy bunnies kind of imagery in my head, you know, but there's also an intellectual breakthrough moment here. Because, you know, the only thing worse than sitting through 2 hours of Zoom, you know, 2 days of Zoom, is sitting through 2 days of Zoom that had absolutely no impact, any way, any shape, any form, you know, just to make somebody happy to berate you remotely now that it's not physically. So to go in and to walk out with, you know what, I can do something about this.
Yes.
You know, I got some tools. There's a piece of tech I could buy or employ, or we could have a meeting that's valuable. It turns from one of these, you know, soul-crushingly empty, mindless meetings to, you know, we got something done this week.
Yeah, and you know, and that's the thing, the battle fatigue around the unconscious bias. Of course, you know, as I mentioned to you in 2018, one of the financial services firms were charged with the biggest gender discrimination lawsuit, class action in the history of Wall Street, right? After they delivered unconscious bias training across the world, right? So they were literally, when I met them, scrubbing, they call it UB, remove UB, remove UB from any slide that you have, any paper that you have, anything. We don't want UB in the system or in our culture, et cetera. Right? And just shifting it, you know, from that to blind spot kind of, again, created that shift, right? So we're saying that it's going to cost you not only from a morale perspective, from an engagement perspective, if you don't do it right, but also from a dollar perspective, right? In terms of the amount of money they spent. And of course, then in the US in particular, the lawsuit situations, right? The gender discrimination cases that exist in spades, right? And I think it'd be a good time to go to the solution of this, right? And we touched a little bit around that, right? What the solution is, and this is what I said yesterday, as I mentioned, I was talking to a Supreme Court judge who reached out to me and he said, we've just gone through this training and it just didn't work. I mean, the judges were really frustrated and they said, you know, this is useless. You know, what are we going to do about this? We can't apply law to this. You know, it just makes no sense, right? And I said to them, you know, we need to stop the divisiveness, right? As really speaking my words, you know, we need to stop the divisiveness and have the authentic conversations. And that's the beauty of, you know, gender intelligence. It brings you in the room and right off the bat, as you've experienced yourself, we're having the conversations together, right?
Wow, to have the training, to get the big lawsuit, to have to undo the training, to delete everything, it's almost 1984-ish newspeak ministry of truth kind of craziness associated with it.
Yep.
But a conversation about these issues flips the whole paradigm. It's not an issue of A versus B. It's an issue of, you know, well, what do you want out of it? You know, an unconscious bias, let's face it, because it is what it is, whoever's teaching it has got to spend the majority of their time proving that you have unconscious bias, the very thing that the attendee is going to want to prove that they don't have. And it's a very conflicting situation where a gender intelligent conversation is what can we learn about each other? Mm-hmm. How can we perform better with each other? What do these different elements and styles bring to the game that we can profit from?
We have 72 companies, clients, right, who've done unconscious bias, and they've all resoundingly said, yeah, we had to do it. I mean, listen, yeah, we had to do it, right? And the same with the sexual harassment. You know, in California, you know, every employee legally has to go through it every 3 months, mandatory by government, right? So they felt that it was sort of like a mandatory thing they had to do, which is unfortunate, right? So that's really what I just want to contribute to the, you know, the viewers that are listening to this, is really to shift gears in this and really let's use language that engages people, right? The power of language, the power of, you can stall or initiate anything through how you use language. This is a quote by Dr. Fernando Flores, PhD linguistic out of Berkeley, right? Studied with him for 7 years. You can stall or initiate anything through how you use language, right? So if we could pause for a second and say, what language can we use that actually engages a conversation that's authentic, right? That's powerful. Right. And dare I say magic. I know you don't like that word, but let's say transformational. Right. And that's really what I wanted the viewers to the listeners to gain as a gift, that really works. And of course, we know 30 years ago that gender intelligence conversations are really, without even knowing, became the most inclusive conversations. We really thought that it was, you know, men and women, but it really is the most inclusive conversation for all, regardless of where you are on the spectrum, which is a nice discovery.
All right. So let's bring this to the now what part of this. Some of you have joined us because it's season 2, episode 12 of the Gender Intelligence Show. And it's the one that came after 11. It's the one that came before 13. Thank you for those on this journey with us. But some of you, this title attracted, fed something internally that took to the action. So first thing is, people are going to want their proof. If you go to genderintelligenceshow.com/S2E12, We will link to the article that speaks to not my 2 billion, but Barbara's 8 billion that is spent on this with absolutely no correlation. But it starts with the beginning of language, you know?
Yeah.
And I would dare say, I'm going to ask you for your suggestions as we close this off, but you know, you have a book on how things are the same words, but they're different languages. We'll definitely link to that. But what else should one do is just like the immediate action steps for someone who started here on episode 12.
Yeah. And we will also send you a link to Be Gender Intelligent book, which is really the manuscript that we wrote to this as a gift to society and the workplace in terms of what it takes to really get to on the gender intelligent continuum to a 5. So it really gives you the insights and the tools on how to do that.
Perfect.
And again, nudge to you, it's 8 billion.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Nothing destroys the soul faster than being told that you're wrong and can't change it. Male, female, what color, orientation, whatever. Like nothing destroys the soul faster than that. So this is a pattern that can be fixed. So the link to the $8 billion article, a link to the Being Gender Intelligent book, you have the ammunition to face this doesn't work. You have the next steps. You have the next show. Anything else they've got, or should we close this one up?
If you are interested in becoming a Gender Intelligence Ambassador, we'd love to talk to you. And also, we have our Be Gender Intelligent e-learning, which is on our website, which certifies you as to being a Gender Intelligence Ambassador. So that's something that you can absolutely take that people are really jumping on all over the world.
Fantastic. This is great, Barbara. As a pleasure, right. As always, a pleasure. Thank you so much. Bye now.
Bye.